Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with my excellent co-host, Chuck Ocelli. If you're not familiar with Chuck's work, get over to ocelli.com. I have a live link right here. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Mom. Is it morning in America? I'm still asking this question.
I don't know. It looks more like we're headed towards midnight instead of morning in this country.
Well, yeah, and what is the nuclear clock at? Is it half a minute to midnight now? I thought it was at 2 minutes, but I guess I lost track.
Was it two? I think we're at a minute now on the nuclear clock. I saw somebody introducing a bill to stop Trump from having the ability to use nuclear weapons. But what really bothered me is the comments people make. I cannot believe the amount of ignorance or the amount of Russian bots that are out there on social media still defending this man.
Well, you know, it is a strange phenomena, but let us not forget that the MSM has been very wrong about his level of support over time. And, you know, you and I don't hire pollsters. So let's be honest, Maria, I don't think that you and I are really aware of the level of cognitive dissonance that is in play here in this country. Why? Because, listen, we're long past being possessed with that kind of stupidity. And why do I say this? Okay, I'm going to bring something into this conversation right away, which I plan to save for later, but hey, let's get to it.
Okay.
I'm going to the JFK conference in Dallas, right?
Right.
And I'm doing that, I'm leaving tomorrow, actually, and it'll be from the 17th to the 19th, and it's at the Lancer conference. All right. Now, this has nothing to do with the discussion, except I have been trying, and I've been going on shows. Anybody who invites me, I don't care if you got a podcast with three people, or, you know, you're on some major alternative, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. You know what? I'm willing to go out there and promote it, because this is one of those rare occasions where I'm going to speak to people directly in public, and I have not really done that. I've never done it on the JFK case. And I haven't really done that where I've been a participant at any conference. Mm-hmm. So I figure, why not? I will promote this everywhere that'll take me. All righty. Well, the feedback, because inevitably, even though I'm there to discuss JFK and the thousands of documents which have been dumped out now, by the way, Maria, in case you didn't know, another 13,000 documents dumped 2 weeks after the big, you know, fanfare in the media and all. But anyway, putting that aside again, I'm out there to promote. Inevitably, the conversation turns to, well, isn't this great that Donald Trump brought us these documents?
Huh.
Now, I have to keep explaining that he's got nothing to do with revealing anything, that all he could do is hinder the process, which, spoiler alert, he did.
Right.
You know, it is what it is, fine, but I do that, and the attitude is detected by the host that I am not a fan of this man. And it's amazing because I go there and I do my thing and I do my discussion and I say, you know what, I would love it if you guys would support my work because I'm a little short on the care and feeding of, you know, the traveling chimp, I call myself, on his way to Dallas. So I could use a few more funds to, like, eat and, well, you know, be able to take a taxi because, well, I don't drive. All right. So this is the purpose of my appearing on these shows also. I am told by the hosts and even through feedback that, you know what, if I wasn't negative against Trump, I'd probably get some money. And this is not, you know, one set of hosts, one network. It's all over the place, like as if this is one of the things like, you know what, we might actually agree with your work all the way, but since you're on that side of the equation, you know, we're not going to participate or listen to anything you have to say. And I'm wondering, if really, you know, they tell us his approval rating is this low and that low and whatever, I'm wondering if really they're not reaching the real people who are out there that are actually completely fooled and sunk into the matrix so deeply that they believe that an elitist, okay, ignorant, real estate hustler from New York, which, you know, you and I know what a hustler looks like from New York, that really doesn't even have the sophistication of your average political hustler. If you don't support that, because after all, intelligence and wealth, or alleged wealth and alleged intelligence, are supposed to be connected together, you know, it's like, well, then you just don't deserve support, and you are apparently not on the right side of things. And you know what? If that's the case, anybody who doesn't want to support me because I'm calling it like I see it, fine. Do that. I'm happy. And I find it interesting that that has been the response in a lot of places. Now, I didn't tell you that story before we came and had this conversation, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's like there's a mass psychosis going on. That's my thought on it. And I think that, you know, yesterday I had a story that one of the original investors in Facebook said that Facebook is based on fear and anger, and that it's all like giving people Nazi propaganda. So when you look at that and you look at people who think that, you know, for some reason everybody thought Trump was going to be their savior because they never did their homework on Trump. You know, they're not my age. They didn't grow up in New York at the same time Trump did to see what a scumbag he is. And everybody wants to believe, listen, we've been in a nanny state since they murdered Kennedy. So you still get people that say, what's the point in continuing to cover the Kennedy assassination? And I tell them, because that was our last elected president. I mean, that makes a difference. You know, the people that killed him have taken over, given us both candidates. Every election, they pick the candidates. They never lose. You know, it doesn't matter to them who wears the suit. So I understand. Listen, I saw that same cognitive dissonance when I started my show. And at that time, the big story I was covering was the stolen election of 2000. And still till today, people don't want to believe it, even with the superdelegates being exposed, the Electoral College being exposed. People still think their vote counts. So if they think that and they believe the official story on 9/11, of course they're going to believe that Trump is their savior too, because they've been beaten down, drugged down, chemtrailed down in their brain. They don't know critical thinking. They don't know real history. And they feel like they have to take sides. Listen, I get attacked all the time when I comment on Trump on social media. And they're like, what about, you know, what about Bill Clinton? What about this one? What about that one? And I'm like, obviously, you've never listened to my show, because I've taken those people on for 20 years. I'm over covering the Clintons' crimes. Now it's time to deal with the devil we have.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I often get that. Well, you must have been for Hillary. Don't you realize the bullet we dodged by having her? No, I don't, because you know what? War criminal versus I want to be a war criminal. I'm not satisfied, you know, with the lesser of two evils. It's still an evil.
Exactly.
And, you know, again, you're exactly correct. I mean, Greg Palast put it beautifully, you know, what the best democracy money could buy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, money buys it, but it's interesting who actually it gets sold to after it's bought. Which is the people. And yes, indeed, it doesn't matter if it's left or right wing. It's you know, both connected to the same bird.
Right.
And you're also right about Kennedy. You know, and some people go, well, he was an elitist and he was in the... Yeah, he was. But you know what happened? He didn't behave according to the program.
Right, he didn't follow the rules. Right.
And so this is why he had to be publicly executed to make a point, which is also why they decapitated the entire progressive leadership in the 1960s, as you well know. Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, and you know what, 100 other people whose names you'll never know, who were actually out there doing the hard work, trying to, oh, I don't know, get people to register to vote because they still believed it counted, and at that time I don't blame them. Not sure if it did, but individuals who took action on the streets and made a difference, all of that had to be quashed. From JFK to the Black Panthers.
Even throw in John Lennon into that mix. Okay, he was like the biggest thorn in Nixon's side. When you look at, you know, and I mean, I grew up in those years. You know, you weren't even a glint in your father's eye, as they say. But I grew up in those years. You know, John Lennon was just a couple of years older than me. Trump's just a couple of years older than me. So I think this is why they want to systematically strip seniors of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. They want us all dead because we know the truth. We lived it.
You know? Well, anything to kill off and hobble the elderly in our society, because let's be honest, and I know elderly sounds like a dirty word, but let me explain. The elders in society are those who will be able to instruct the younger people by destroying the older class of individuals who have survived, who have thrived, who have, you know, actually experienced history. You take away their ability to be able to pass along anything regarding wisdom. This is why that's been systematically done. And the only reason why I didn't mention John Lennon is because, you know, he died in 1980 or 81, I forget which, but, you know, so he wasn't part of the 60s cleansing, if you will, of the palate for the elites out there. But
in actuality, Chuck, he was, because he was out there with the biggest anti-war message going. And as you know, Nixon tried to bust him for pot, send him back to England. I suggest everybody watch the movie. You can see it on Netflix, The U.S. versus John Lennon. So it didn't matter when they took him out. If that mattered, Judith Vary Baker wouldn't be hiding out overseas because they still want to kill her for being Lee Harvey's girlfriend and her work. So, when you talk to people like this, you could even give them Lyndon Johnson's mistress's words on the meeting they had before they killed Kennedy, and they still don't want to believe it.
Well, I'll respectfully disagree with you about Miss Baker, but I'm sorry, but the thing is that there are a great many individuals who we know for certain, you know, were witnesses to history, who were participants in things of significance that have been silenced, and the moment that you begin to speak the truth is the moment you reach resistance. Now, I found something interesting recently on the internet, by the way, because, you know, some people might say, well, what about all these people that are supposed to be in the alternative media that are speaking the truth movement, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting to me because I saw some stuff coming out that nobody's paying attention to, some undercover video of guys who work for, you know, some of the larger organizations in independent media, or not independent media, but alternative, quotes, media. And they make statements about, you know, suddenly magically getting funds from places where they don't know where they come from. And every time they do something that happens to fit in with a certain part of the plan, let's just say, you know, things get magically funded. Banks turn around and make errors in their favor. I mean, interesting stuff like that goes on for those that are actually going along to get along, even if they are the opposition as controlled as they actually are. They are the opposition that somebody else already scripted, right? Independent thinkers and individuals who are actually coming out with information, they're either dead, broke, or being marginalized in every way possible. And Lennon, in my estimation, is one of these guys that they tried to crush his ability to reach people early on. And finally, you know, they let some Manchurian candidate take him out, catch her in the rye again and again, right? They let some Manchurian candidate take him out. And I don't dispute that he was absolutely one of these guys that had to be gotten rid of, because you know what? As John Lennon got older, he might have become even more fearless.
Right.
When you know that you have less time ahead of you than you have behind you, you become less possessed with the worry. You know, quite honestly, I know you don't want to die or anything, Maria, but the truth is, even if you knew that speaking a truth at this point in your life might get you killed, you would say to yourself, you know what, I've lived pretty well, I have done the right thing, and I'm going to do this because, listen, if that's what they're going to have to do, that's what they're going to have to do, and let them do it. Because you know what will happen is it'll verify, it'll bolster my claim, it'll actually help. And who knows? I mean, I don't know. That might be your viewpoint. I'm not speaking for you, but quite honestly, as I get into my middle age, which I'm only just there at 45, that's the attitude I take, is I no longer care about what are they going to do to me if I say the wrong thing or if I bring out the wrong piece of information.
All right.
I mean, I'm going to be responsible. But the thing is, if I've got the deepest, darkest criminal secret to bring out, and I've got, you know, something to present, I'm going to bring it out to as many people as possible. And you know what? If they kill me, I would have died some way at some time anyhow, and that's a fair enough cause for me. And not because I don't love my family or I'm wishing for death. I'm not at all. But you know what? It does not bother me. And I was asked that question many times recently. Mm. Are you not afraid that, you know, by saying things about the agency and by saying things and calling out certain people's names and, you know, and talking about things where they have programs in place where torture and abduction are actually, you know, being farmed out to private contractors across the planet. Are you not afraid of bringing these things out? And no, somebody's got to do it. And what is the worst thing they're going to do to me? Fine.
Well, listen,
bring it.
I've felt that way my whole life, so that's nothing new. And I've probably said since I was a young woman, what are they going to do? Kill me? Send me home? I can actually get off this planet? You know what I mean? And I remember when my father taught us when we were kids. He said, fear no man. They can only kill your body. They can't touch your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really didn't grow up with a life of fear. I really never gave a shit what anybody thought about what I was doing or what I was saying. I did what I did because I had to. And I'm just answering your question. You know, in 1990, I put on a big Earth Day event in my hometown of Long Beach, New York. My son was probably, I don't know, 10. And I had to get up and speak in front of 25,000 people on an open bandstand on the beach. I mean, the beach was loaded with people, the boardwalk loaded with people. And my son, you know, being a kid, he was afraid. And he says, Mom, what if you go up there and somebody tries to take a shot at you? And I looked at him and I said, remember this now, better to die for something you believe in than to wait till you're in a wheelchair eating soup with a spoon and saying, what happened to my life?
Mm.
And, you know, the same thing, you know, fast forward, you know, till he's in his 20s and I'm doing this show, which really draws the fire. And he says, why is it always got to be you? And my answer is always the same, Chuck. I said to him, I can read, I can write, and I can speak. Who else is going to do it?
Well, you know what's interesting there, Maria, is again, your son, who you're talking about here, is virtually the same age as me. And here's what I find interesting about what you just said. Notice that in his mindset, being born probably 1970, somewhere in there, you know, in that time period, let's just call it 1970. I was born in 72.
He was born in 79. You're born the same year as my daughter.
Oh, okay, I'm born the same year as your daughter. Well, either way, your children are the same, and I do call you Mom. I know you did not physically birth me, but a story for your listeners know what that story is.
Right.
But, you know, the thing is this. Think about that mindset for a moment. Do you know why it is that people in my generation had that thought? If you speak, you will be killed. You know why?
Because everyone was.
Because that's what it was. That was the reality. This is what we knew. Mm-hmm. You guys before us, the generation existing before us, had already been, you know, prepackaged, ready to go to program us mostly with the idea that you were going to get killed for speaking up. Why? Because you saw JFK, RFK, MLK. Yeah, I know it's three-letter soup, but hold on. You know, like I said, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, you know, various members of the Black Panther Party. You had witnessed
right. These
people being neutralized, who every time they spoke up, said something against the military-industrial complex, said something against the status quo, that would actually get under their skin. Either the FBI, some alleged lone nut, or some other, you know, conglomeration of conspiracy that's supposed to be, again, just a lone nut, came together and snuffed them out. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that you were traumatized in passing it along to your son. What I am saying is that that all of the adults have been trained by this. The decapitation of progressive thought, that was the program. And it's not limited to JFK. Again, I'm very focused on this because I've been doing nothing for the past couple of weeks but reading through documentation on the assassination. But, well, that and also doing my radio show five nights a week and juggling other things. And, hey, I'm also a dad. Right. You know, when you realize that this is a part of the given accepted normal, right? And I do use normal as a verb here. The given accepted normal in the society. This is a very serious problem. That chilling effect. You know, you and I don't suffer from it. Okay. I don't know if it's because of the the Roman blood in us. I don't know, but
it's a little bit of that. But you know, for me, it's my spirituality. You know, people talk about and they act like they understand that this planet is an illusion, that everything here is an illusion. But the truth of the matter is, they don't really believe it. And they don't look further to, you know, what happens, you know, what happens when you leave this particular freaked out computer game? You know, is there anything else? But for me, because I almost died when I was 4 years old, when I came back, I looked around me and I just knew. I said, this isn't the way we're supposed to be living. Where the hell am I? These were the thoughts in a four-year-old's head. You know, who are these people that claim to be my family? How do I get home? How the hell do I get out of here? I knew that consciously after I almost died when I was a kid. And of course, you know, I've been studying and working my own spirituality for so long that to me, you know, I tell my kids because they're still in fear because I do get a lot of threats. I still get those threats. And if I gave into that fear, what would happen? Who would do this work? You know, where would my listeners go? And then they win. You know, I'm not the type of person to give in and let anybody, you know, get over on me. So it really, you know, and I've always said, what are they going to do? Kill me and send me home? And I told my children, don't worry about me, because when my time comes, I'm going to leave here with a happy smile on my face and I'm going to welcome it. I'll be glad to be out of here. I said, but in the meantime, I came here to do exactly what I'm doing or I wouldn't be doing it. And I don't do it for the majority because I know the majority's just never going to get it. And, you know, what did they say today? I think there was a group of 70 or more scientists that say we're pretty much over the edge on the sixth mass extinction with pollution and everything rising. So to me, you know, it's always been about the environment, Chuck. Warning people that they're killing their own web of life. It's all about the sacredness of Earth and living creatures. And that's my job. My thing is, when I leave here, I'm going to say I did everything I knew how to do. I got clean hands and I'm never going back there.
Well, see, that's the thing is also if it comes from me. And by the way, just for the record, I will make this announcement on my show later on today. But quite honestly, every time I announce publicly that I'm going to travel or whatever, people threaten to intercept me. And to, you know, teach me a lesson, and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? It's pretty interesting. It's never actually come to it.
Right.
But you know what? If it does, I am not going to, leave with regrets because I know that, that I've done exactly what it is I was sent here to do. I might have not been doing it my whole life, but I did it in exactly the time period I was supposed to. You know, I encountered you exactly when I was supposed to, you, Maria Heller, but I encountered everybody exactly when I was supposed to. This is all fine by me.
Right.
I have no regrets at this point. I have like maybe one more thing I'd like to do before I go, you know, the old bucket list.
Right.
And one of those things on the bucket list is this conference, but that'll leave me with like one thing left on the bucket list. And that's not too bad, Maria.
All right, but don't check out too soon because I'm anticipating you taking over for me when I'm gone. And listen, there's only a few people that I recommend. Listen, I've been doing this a long time. And as you know, I, as far as I know, was the first person to do a podcast. And I've seen so many people come and go. I've seen so many phonies. I've seen so many rich people claiming to be alternative. I warn people about them. They still go, you know, want to listen to what's going to tickle their ears and not upset their everyday life. But the truth of the matter is, when people ask me, well, who else do you recommend? It's always going to be Chuck O'Chelly, Jack Blood, and Richard Grove. That's right. My whole list. Of course, myself. And yeah, okay, if you're overseas, all right, I'll throw in a plug for Richie Allen. But people are not discerning. They're not discerning about anything. Who they listen to, who they read, who they watch on TV, who they listen to on the radio. It's whatever makes them feel comfortable and safe, and I now don't have to do anything about what's happening. That's what people, they don't want to participate in life. They want somebody else to fix the world for them. Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, no, listen, if you are, you know, dwelling on the problems in your life and the problems in the world, and you're looking for a solution, you have no further to go than to a mirror, which most people have somewhere in their home, and understand that you are your own savior. You know, this very strange concept, something is alien to me, is this seeking a savior. You know, whether it be Trump or some media personality or somebody to instruct you about your life directly without even knowing you, just to give you edicts that you are meant to follow. I'm sorry. This is not our design. We're not meant to be followers. We are meant to interact with one another. We are meant to be connected. We are indeed connected whether we can wrap our minds around it or not. We are actually all interconnected in some way or other. That's fortunate in some cases, that's unfortunate in other cases. But the truth is, we are actually all connected. And at the end of the day, again, regardless of how long my time on this earth is, I'll take it. It's fine. And I don't know that I could ever take over for you, but...
Well, I'd like to know there's a few decent broadcasters left in place. It's like all my students for my spiritual work. I know I got that covered. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's really about duplicating your effort. And sometimes it takes a long time, Chuck. But to me, it's like I've always been interested in everything going on in the world. And I don't think that's ever going to change. But there are a lot of people who I just call it living quiet lives of desperation.
Mm.
You know, here in the valley in Arizona, you may have seen the story on social media. This doctor just blew away his whole family this week. Two holistic doctors. My daughters used them. Actually, I had had a session with one of them once. He went and supposedly, we don't really know the story. The shot is, you know, 3-year-old, his new baby, his wife, and himself. And right away, everybody jumped to how many natural doctors have been murdered. I think the number's up to like 900 now. I'm not sure that was the case here. But everybody wanted to jump to that conclusion. And I said, listen, from what I understand, they were having a lot of problems and a lot of financial problems. And there's a lot of people in this country and all around the world committing suicide and murders because they can't make it anymore, like the farmers in India. You know, you look at what's going on and it all goes back to everything seems to go connect to inequality. Everything, even all these issues with all these women coming forth finally. You know, for weeks now about who raped them, who abused them, et cetera, et cetera, the Me Too campaign. So, you know, looking at that, it's pretty interesting. And I was like, wow, I hope 2017 is going to be the year of women finally standing up against the abuse we've suffered for centuries.
You know, I hope so as well. However, I got to tell you, I am pessimistic for a couple of reasons. And I know this is going to spark an interesting bit of the second half of our conversation.
Let's go to break and then we'll come back. So stay with us. Chuck and I will be right back. Hi, Maria here. And I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.meria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water with myself and Chuck Ocelli. And if you want to help Chuck eat while he's on his trip to go speak at this JFK conference, Chuck, how can people help you out? You have a PayPal account?
Yes, I do. If you go to Ocelli.com, which is my home site, it's where everything originates from that I do. In fact, this show will be up there in the member section afterwards, also at Maria.net. But it also goes to Ocelli.com with Maria's permission. And, yeah, there is a PayPal button on my website. And if you click that and drop anything in, it is extremely appreciated. And I'll tell you something else. For listeners of very few shows, if you drop anything in, I will give you a membership for a time period. And here's the thing, depending on what you put in, I'll give you between 3 months and a year at the website, left to my discretion. But if you drop in even a couple of bucks, I'm willing to give you 3 months to try out what it is I have over there. And it'll be well worth whatever it is you spend on it, because I put out material that does not go out to anywhere else for members only over there, including, hey, Hell and High Water. So there you go. And it's much appreciated. I try to write back to everybody, but I will be away for the week. So if you don't see a response from me right away, don't think I forgot you. I remember everybody who assists me in any way possible. So thank you, Maria.
I do too. I know the feeling. And listen, there's a lot of people sitting out there, and I know I have an audience that most people are jealous of. Okay. I've never talked to anybody that didn't want to get on my show because they know my audience actually does something with the material. But I also understand a lot of people working 2-3 jobs, you know, wish they could do what we do, but they can't because they're busy. But they can do something. They can support the few people out there that are doing it. And then you'll feel better at the end of the day. You could say, at least I did something good. And you know, to me, it's no skin off my back if somebody's supporting you or supporting Jack or supporting Rich. You know, when you guys all have young families, you know, you're all doing the best you can. And you all gave up making a good living like I did 20 years ago. But don't wait until the person's dead. You know, I was interviewed for a documentary last week, and I don't want to spill the beans. So I'm not going to talk about what we're doing this documentary on. But one of the things they had asked me is, you know, what do you think about when a real truth teller passes away and everybody's rah-rah, sis-boom-bar in their work? And I'm like, it's nice for people to say they miss people, but why didn't they support that person when they were alive? Don't claim to worship them once they're dead, okay? They need your help while they're still alive. The rest is irrelevant. Once we're off this planet, we really don't care, okay? It's like too little, too late. Got to move on. All right, speaking of moving on, I see Jeff Sessions is being grilled today. All of a sudden, he remembered what he forgot. It looks like they want Sessions to take over for Roy Moore, so they could replace Sessions and maybe quash the Russian investigation. When I posted that, somebody tore me out a new one, and I said, hello, it's all over the internet. Try and research for yourself. And then we have Mitch McConnell, who never does anything right, who came out against Roy Moore and said, I believe the women. So here we have... Everything just looks like it's exploding at the same time. And Trump announces today that he wants a Senate investigative committee on Hillary Clinton. And to me, it's like, oh, God, more distraction. Look, I've covered Hillary for 20 years, her and her husband. I'm sick of them. But the truth of the matter is, even though she won the election, he's the devil we have to deal with. If she was sitting in that chair, I'd be covering her the same way. The only difference would be she wouldn't be as openly ignorant as he is.
Well, no, she'd be, of course, probably even less human, but also a bit more discreet.
She's a well-seasoned politician. That's the difference.
Yeah, of course, but that's
not saying that's a good thing. Right? Not saying that's a good thing. You know what I mean?
it would be a little quieter in the news. How about that?
Oh, man, that's for sure. My work would be less.
Yeah, that's true, too. But you know what? I want to throw something else into this mix that I'm amazed nobody has considered. Did you notice that Kevin Spacey and our friend Louis C.K. and... Mm. Gee, let's see who else. Oh, I don't know. Who else is being accused of all the...
Everybody. Harvey Weinstein, George Takei. It's like the list has no end. Jeremy Piven. I mean, the list goes on and on. John Travolta. I mean, it's like nonstop.
Well, which, by the way, George Takei, I'm not buying that.
I don't buy it either.
I happen to know a little bit about George Takei, and I'm telling you right now, no. But... here's the purpose of it in my head, Maria, because I noticed that this explosion of stuff from Hollywood preceded immediately the Roy Moore thing coming to the forefront. Mm-hmm. Almost as if, let's muddy the water with all these different accusations, which, by the way, some of them are probably fabricated just to do this. Okay, some of them are. I believe that, but I'll tell you something else. Mm-hmm. There is a whole lot of women not saying anything about anything because, well, they want to work. And
inequality, you know, so, once again. You know, women are victims because they have to take the shit their bosses throw at them because they need the job. They need the money. They're not making the same kind of money. Those kind of men would never do that kind of shit if the woman was on equal footing with them as far as money and power.
Now, this is absolutely true, but that doesn't stop the opportunists in the media and in politics from taking advantage of the situation.
Right.
See, Louis C.K., there were people writing about this, in 2012 and 2013, Maria, but nobody really took big notice of it.
Right.
There were people writing about Kevin Spacey a couple years ago. Nobody took notice of it. Conveniently, it explodes as headline-grabbing stories right before we get... a politician who is a warrior for God, according to him, out there, you know, picking up on 16-year-old girls or 14-year-old, I don't know what the age group is, but either way,
14.
Underage girls,
right.
Okay, and when I say girl, I mean girl,
right.
Okay, instead of woman because they have not gone through the maturation process anyhow. Meanwhile, is anybody even talking about George H.W. Bush, you know?
I am.
I know you are.
Well, you saw a couple of accusers came out. A 16-year-old came out against George Herbert Walker, Mr. Franklin cover-up. She came out with just a couple of years ago, while he's in a wheelchair, he molested her. And everybody's still defending. I guess if you attack any Republican politician, everybody defends them. But if it was Anthony Weiner, who's currently serving 21 months... everybody demonized him. At least he went to jail. But you also have to look at the dynamic, Chuck. We have a president who's a molester, a rapist, a pedophile, who admitted to, you know, let's not forget his, you know, pussy grabber tape. So it's almost like, I think in a way, it freed other women, because you saw the persecution the women accusing Trump went through, where they're the victims, being treated like, you know, they were the perpetrators. I think that Trump's America has given women that they only have one choice. We either fight now or we're going down as we continue to lose all our rights. Rights to abortion, pro-choice, cutting contraception, you know, the way your bosses can treat you, et cetera, et cetera. I don't blame them all for coming forth. I think it's about time, because I can honestly tell you, as a woman and you're a man, you really can't get it. I'm sure you were hit on plenty in your life, but not like it is to be a woman. It's like all you need is a vagina to be harassed. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, tall or small, fat, skinny, ugly, pretty, doesn't matter. We all take that sexist abuse.
Listen, I don't disagree with you one bit. I will say this, though. That it is amazing to me that this was almost a preemptive strike, though, bringing out really what is deeply ingrained in Hollywood culture.
Right.
You know, spending the very little bit of time I did in California, I got to tell you that this is pretty much, you know, an unspoken part of the deal out there. This is
Hollywood's always known that since, you know, the beginning of black and white pictures. Okay, everybody knew about the casting couch and a woman didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is, Because I actually had two people that I sort of respect write me to ask what I thought about giving a polygraph test to the woman, the first woman that accused Jeff, not Jeff Sessions, Roy Moore. Mm-hmm. And I wrote back and I said, the same exact day that it was revealed that Kevin Spacey raped that young man, his career ended. His show was pulled. His Emmy's getting pulled back. He's going in for treatment. Everybody bought that story. Now you have five women that have accused Roy Moore. And one man actually in Congress wants them to be charged with felonies for being an accomplice because they didn't talk about it sooner. So why is it when it's women saying they were raped, they have to prove it. But when a man rapes another man, it was instantaneous. Nobody said, where's the evidence? Nobody said anything. Kevin Spacey was dead in the water. So I said, wow, even when it comes to rape and physical abuse, it's a man's world. Because women are always made to feel like they're the victim, you know, they're the perpetrators, they're the criminals, even if they report a cop that raped them in the car. I'm sure you saw that story about those two cops that raped that 18-year-old girl for a pot bust, and they raped her in the back of the car. Well, those cops got fired, big deal. The 18-year-old was raped by two grown men. All right. But, you know, they immediately they try to twist those stories like the girl is making it up. Listen, there's always going to be that rarity where somebody's falsely accused, whether it's a man or a woman. But, you know, I trust women. OK, there's a great organization. You may want to check them out for your show called Trust Women, and trust women to know what's best for themselves, best for their body, et cetera, et cetera. And I trust women, and I got to tell you, I was shocked to see Mitch McConnell say, I believe the women, there's no reason not to. And so did Jeff Sessions this morning, but I think Sessions has his ulterior motives.
Oh, yeah. But you know what, Maria, I don't think that this is a conflict between the sexes because, you know, Harvey Weinstein was automatically assumed guilty as well, and he wasn't attacking men. It seems to me as though Louis C.K. was being inappropriate with women. That was believed right away.
Let me ask you this, Chuck. You're a man, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever said to a date, come over and watch me masturbate?
Well, no, I haven't.
Okay. So when I look at these stories of what these men have done, and by the way, there's a news story out this morning that Roy Moore was actually banned from a shopping mall for being a lech on young women. So there's more and more there. Listen, the harder they argue against homophobia, this, that, the other thing, to me that means they're even worse. They're just not admitting it. But when you look at all of this, and I mean, you're talking about Harvey Weinstein, that's been going on for years. And I guess, listen, I said it a couple of months ago on the show when I saw all these laws being changed against women. I says, now they're going to play women against men. They've tried everything else. So the next thing to divide and conquer is going to be women against men. And here it is.
Oh, yeah. No, agreed there. But to me, it's more interesting that there is a much more punitive attitude toward, oh, people in fantasy land, which is, you know, otherwise known as Hollywood. There is a much more quick public reaction to them than if you have a magic R in front of your name. You know, H.W. Bush. Well, gee, I don't know if I believe that. And he's an old man. And come on. And this guy, well, he's a warrior for God. You know, I mean, I every time I see somebody waving that banner around, I immediately think, okay, so are you gay, a pedophile, or are you some other kind of demented pervert? Or maybe you're just a drug addict, which would be the least of the problems that I'm going to hear from you next. I mean, as soon as somebody is screaming that as their defense, I'm sorry, Maria, but that's where my mind jumps to.
Mine too. They're all closet something or other. You just got to figure out what.
Yeah, well, they're all in some closet. You just got to figure out which one, right?
Right. But, you know, you also have to look at, you know, and I had this conversation this week. I don't even remember with who. I mean, I was actually having conversations with people in my pajamas that were asking me questions. But if you really look at it, Americans' sexuality has always been immature, suppressed, and deviant. Because Think about who settled this country. the Puritans and their ideas of, you know, sex, their biblical ideas of sex. You know, no other country is like our country, where a man will become a total fool if he sees a woman topless, okay? Everything is so taboo, you know, and religion, of course, adds to that. And I think that our twisted, immature sexuality gets offended when you see, you know, all these stories coming out, you know, watch me masturbate and, you know, all this other shit. If they had a healthy sexuality, you know, if we didn't stop children from learning about sex ed in school, if we actually gave kids, you know, condoms and contraceptions and taught them the real facts of life instead of, you know, abstinence, that was George W.'s big thing, abstinence. I mean, it's ridiculous. We're being ruled by the biggest hypocrites, fake Christians, biblical psychos that I've ever seen in my life, which is why I have so much, as I've been accused, why do you have so much vitriol towards Trump? And I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, I've covered every president since Bill Clinton, since I'm doing my show. I said, but he's the absolute worst. I don't know how anybody can have anything but vitriol towards him, just as an American.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a president of the United States knocks past presidents of the United States in China, calls Americans losers and haters while he's in Asia, you know, embarrasses us and will take Putin's side. And I'm not saying whether Putin's good or bad, but I have never seen a president side with a foreign leader against our own intelligence service, Justice Department, media, American people. I mean, the list goes on and on. How can people sit back and be okay with that if they claim to be a patriot?
You know, I keep wondering the same thing. I wonder how these alleged Christians can, you know, continue to support people that don't comport themselves in a Christ-like manner. I wonder how it is that the American people can forget about being American and being patriotic, Maria. How about being a decent human being?
Right.
Who just, you know, isn't a gavone already.
Gavone.
Sorry to throw that word in.
Gavone,
but I mean, this guy,
is the perfect word for him.
You tell me he doesn't fit, right?
He is. He's a gavone.
Maybe you should explain that for white people. I don't know.
Look it up. You can find it online. They spell it C-A-F-O-N-E.
Yep. So the deal is, though, I mean, with this guy behaving this way, you wonder, what about, oh, I don't know, a communication that is not loaded with a bunch of unnecessary, you know, insults, taunts, retorts that nobody asked for, constant self-congratulation. I mean, listen.
Right. Well, the other side of it, Chuck, what if Obama didn't said what he did?
What if Obama
did and said the things that Trump does? In racist America, how long would Obama have kept his job?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Because, you know, a guy who just totally disrespects veterans directly, a guy who, you know, again, still talking about the orange one, a guy who absolutely calls, you know, people losers and liars and everything else when their family members have died under his, you know, time as commander-in-chief. This guy, well, you know, it's interesting. I remember a big uproar over Obama saluting a soldier that was standing by while he was walking somewhere with a cup of coffee in his hand.
Right.
And how disrespectful that was. Look.
Or his wife wearing a sleeveless dress when we have when we have Melania with all her nude pictures online, and she looks like she buys her clothes at Phyllis Diller's old wardrobe closet. You know what I'm saying? So everybody seems to be okay with that. They're okay with the new Hussein family in office because now even his daughter-in-law has gotten into the act. Okay? Nobody sees nepotism and unqualified people in every single department and the State Department being basically bare. No one seems to have a problem with that. But if a black president would have done 1/1000th of what Trump is doing, he would have been history.
Yeah, well, you know, imagine Obama, right, the guy who was supposedly a Muslim and all this other stuff, who was going to turn us all over to Sharia law. Didn't happen, spoiler alert.
Don't take your guns, too. Didn't happen.
Yeah, I thought all of our guns were supposed to be taken away. That's another thing that didn't happen, right? A bunch of stuff didn't happen under Obama that they said was, remember that he's going to stay in there unconstitutionally and have a third term? And
right. Or,
yeah, no, he didn't do any of that. But while this guy turns around and spends more money and uses the Secret Service and golfs more than he did and, you know, and makes more trouble and absolutely, literally, I could not believe my eyes when I saw the other day, I'm trying to be Kim Jong-un's friend. I'm paraphrasing. I'm trying to be Kim Jong-un's friend. He's calling me old. I don't call him short and fat, do I?
Right. Which was his way of calling him short and fat.
Well, yeah, I felt like Barron Trump had maybe stolen his, you know, his phone for a minute and was getting in on the act. Except, you know, Barron Trump is probably too mature for that. And, you know, generally this is the kind of action that you hear out of a six-year-old, okay?
Right. Even George W., the idiot king, would never have said anything like that. But I do remember, we remember the first time George W. went over to meet Putin. He came back and said, you know, Putin was a great guy. I've seen his soul. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And then a couple of months later, he saw the reality of Putin and turned on him. So here we have, you know, another buffoon in office who, you know, I believe Putin, but then he tried to walk it back the next day. Did you see how he tried to say, basically trying to say he didn't say what he said the day before? If this guy's not bipolar, if he's an actor, he's the best actor I've ever seen.
Oh, you know what? That's the thing is that I said the other day to somebody else, and this will have to probably be the last thing I say here today, but it is difficult for me to objectively take a look at this guy and figure out whether he is truly, legitimately as ignorant as he appears, or if this is an act. It is very difficult for me to figure that out because I cannot possibly imagine someone surviving into adulthood unless they were in a very privileged position and allowed to do so and, in fact, you know, had protection the whole time. I cannot see someone surviving into adulthood with the attitude that this guy takes, much less running anything. And meanwhile, this is the president, and quite honestly, the president that so many people that want to be disengaged and not involved and not understand a single thing that's going on around them in the world and be completely, you know, hypocritical at all points in time, this is the president they wanted.
Well, what is that a reflection of then? You have to think this way. Listen, Chuck, my mother always told me when I was a kid, show me your friends and I'll show you what you are. Now, earlier you talked about looking in the mirror. Well, you remember Michael Jackson's song, The Man in the Mirror?
Yes.
So to me, people that can still side with him, threaten you and me, because we expose truth no matter who they are, and he just gives us a whole lot more to cover, they need to look in the mirror and realize that Trump is them. They are Trump. They are representative of him, and he represents everything about them that they deny they are.
Unfortunately, because of the twisted vision of many people, they are happy with that.
Well, listen, they better be happy when the I almost said the F curse. When the bombs go off, okay? Because when the bombs go off, it's not going to be, I was right, you were wrong. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about the state of the planet, the state of the human race. And I have to tell you that when I look at Facebook, all I see now is I see it as a tool to turn people against each other, and they do it in seconds.
Well, you know why they've always used divide and conquer against us, Maria? Because thus far,
it works.
It's worked.
Never changed the MO. Chuck, I wish you really well on your trip. I can't wait to hear next month what went on there and what you provided the audience. They're lucky to have you there. Some fresh blood with some new ideas.
Well, thank you once again. And I'm going to do something a bit different. Again, spoiler alert, than anybody else does. But what else would you expect, Maria?
I don't. That's my boy. That's my boy. You take good care. We'll talk soon, Chuck.
Absolutely.
Okay. Chuck Ocelli, get over to Ocelli.com. Support his work. Like I said, there are very few that you're ever going to hear me recommend, and he's one of them. Anyway, I'll see you guys on Thursday with more news at Planet of the Apes, but I did want to announce that next week when I have Monica on for Awaken with Maria and Monica, We want to do some dream interpretations for you. Now, in order for us to do that, I need you to type up your dream or whatever recurring dream or a dream that stuck out in your head as much as you can. I don't need every single detail of the dream, but I want to know how you felt during the dream and after the dream, too. And Monica and I will have a great time interpreting dreams for you because we love doing that. So it'll be a good, relaxing, fun show. So if you ever wanted to know the importance of your dreams, how to work with your dreams, that's going to be the show, and that's next Tuesday. So again, I'll see you guys on Thursday. Thanks for supporting real people doing real news for other real people. I'll see you guys then.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.